Previously on the Loyal Littles podcast.
Okay, now, this is not for me, of course. I'm just for our listeners, just in case. What are vittles? What are those?
Vittles are the nice way that a rural person will say food. It's just
food,
a lot of times
kind of
vittles.
Food.
Yeah, usually it's food that you've hunted and prepared and then put in a stew or just eat on a plate. That's my definition. It's not official.
Right.
I haven't called into Webster's, so.
Well, it's now the official of the Loyal Littles podcast.
Yeah.
On the eighth day of Hanukkah, Mr. Tony gave to us 8 boxes of Triscuits, 7 pints of ice cream, 6 a.m. shopping on Black Friday, 5 shows a week.
But how was your Thursday show?
4 casts from Shein, 3 Robert Griffins, 2 sweaters from a shoe store, and a bald orange man that we love.
Happy Hanukkah! Welcome back to the Loyal Littles podcast.
On the WTFC podcast network.
Hey, Roxy.
Hey, Chuck.
Happy Hanukkah, Littles.
Ritz.
Hi, Ritz.
How you guys
happy
doing?
Hanukkah.
In the house. Of course, we had to have Ritz here for our Hanukkah episode.
Yes.
And a tradition.
Yes, absolutely. it's becoming a tradition.
Yeah.
And so that was one of our jingles that you're going to hear. We're going to sprinkle those in because we have quite a few Hanukkah jingles that we're going to share today.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll put all those in the show notes so you know who they are and all that stuff. And we also have some Hanukkah music today. So we're very excited about that.
Fantastic.
We'll get to that. We've got our little menorah here, right?
I brought a menorah to the News Channel 12 studio.
Yes.
We decorated it with blue and red candles for Roxy's Patriots.
Yes, thank you, who are doing terrible.
Well, who are fighting you for the number one pick, apparently.
Exactly, I know.
So, that's going to be interesting later on, for sure. So we always do this. Charles Warren, episode 281, our last episode.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he wrote in and he said, "I'm so sorry, everyone. I had no idea TK was boycotting his return to the PTI studio until I was on the Loyal Littles podcast."
That's right.
"I'm glad I could help." So, yes, thank you for that.
Yes.
What a treat that was.
Oh, my God.
This past Tuesday.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Came out of nowhere. Now, who sent us? Someone sent me a little. I don't remember who sent me the picture of the Instagram page. Because I actually text Bonnie because I was like, "I knew it." And she's like, "What do you mean you knew?" And I was like, "Well, someone posted a picture of one of those faces that they do on the sticks."
Yeah.
They had it set up in Tony's chair.
Right.
Okay.
Oh.
But so it was like, that was interesting.
It's like a teaser.
Yeah. And then
was
the ultimate.
Was it his face on the stick?
Yes.
I gotcha.
Yeah. And someone, my favorite thing was, I think it was Mary Faye Randolph, episode 10, who like then posted a comment. She's like, "Well, that's the closest you'll ever get to seeing him back in that chair again." And then later on she goes, "Well, I guess that didn't age well." Or she goes, "I guess I was wrong on that one." Yeah. And
or
then
I'm
there
glad
was,
I was wrong.
Then there was the ultimate tease, of course, later on. They showed a picture of Wilbon shaking somebody's hand in the chair.
Sneaky.
So all I know is we finally got our picture with our Reginald that we sent to the set to Bonnie.
Yes.
That's been behind that chair for a year now. It's been there.
Over a year.
Yeah,
it's been over a year.
No, it was right around the year because I said I screwed up, Roxy, because I sent it.
Are you sure it was last holiday and not the holiday before?
Yes, I'm positive. Yeah.
It took me that long? Are you
well,
sure about that?
Yeah, unfortunately I am. But that's okay. Well, because we were giving them out to other people and stuff. And, you know, we've done some good things with the monkeys.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, this was because it got to her basically the last episode before they went on the holiday break.
Got it.
So it aired one time, and then they went on break for 2 weeks, and we thought...
And you said to me, "That's probably all you're going to see of it."
That's all it's going to be, because they usually redecorate.
And I'm like, you got to have hope, Chuck. You got to have hope. You got to believe.
And
this
then
is the season
believe
to believe.
In the monkey.
Good old Bonnie. She kept it up there.
That's awesome.
And then when we were there and we got to go to the studio during Jingle Fest...
Did you move the monkey back up front?
I asked if we could take a picture with the monkey and if it would be okay to bring it up front. And she said yes.
Perfect.
So we did. And then we just happened
to
walk away.
No, wait. I'm just in all defense. We offered to put it back where we got it.
Well, you did.
And she she was like, "I don't care." So we were like, "Okay, we'll just leave it there."
Perfect.
So it's been there right behind Wilbon every time he's on.
Yeah.
And now we finally have a picture. I mean, it's not like Tony's posing with her or anything, but we have the shot on the from the TV with our monkey with Tony.
Oh, you got to put it up on the website.
Then the next day, they moved the whole set because they had to set up the menorahs. They set up the other. But then it was like right near the Emmys.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
With the PTI set. And then the most recent episode, we couldn't find them. So we're not sure if what happened. We understand. You know, things have to change. And
Where's the monkey?
Where's the monkey? It's like, where's Waldo?
No, that was big news. You texted me at the office when he was on, and I ran home. I watch it later, so it was fantastic.
Yeah, I was between shows, and I wrote back, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
So today is December 9th, and ironically, even though it's Hanukkah, it is National Christmas Card Day.
Oh.
Okay. So I thought that was a good way to bring up. We want to say thank you for all the Christmas cards that have been coming in.
Yes.
And gifts.
Love getting
both.
Them.
So we had Shai Corman, episode 194, Jenny Robbins, 57, David Patton, Brandon Borzelli, who wrote a nice poem. And
yeah, he did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Marcy Dillon and the Sharamitas.
Yes.
Sent us a nice card as well. A gift for Chuck.
A treat for Chuck.
A treat for Chuck.
Wow.
It's right there, Ritz.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
It's a bobblehead Boston Red Sox Charlie Brown character.
It's really cute.
Yeah.
I think
it's
you've been
really
seen.
Cute. Yeah. It's really cute.
Yep. So, and we also want to do a special thank you to Brandon Borzelli for basically using the code.
Yep.
And giving us a nice little support for the podcast.
Yes.
That was really sweet. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, episode 178.
Yes, absolutely. Now, before we get to our Meet the Littles guest, we wanted to take a quick second and say RIP and just talk about Norman Lear a little bit. He absolutely revolutionized primetime TV with All in the Family. He was 101 years old.
Wow.
That's a good life.
That's a good run. That's a great run.
Wow.
Now, I could just read. I had the whole obituary from the LA Times, but basically, we all know what he's been said. Tony even went out on PTI the other night and said probably the greatest TV character of all time, Archie Bunker from All in the Family.
Mm-hmm.
But real quick, the multiple Emmy Award-winning writer, producer, and liberal political activist revolutionized primetime TV in the 1970s with the groundbreaking social relevant situational comedies such as All in the Family, Maude, and The Jeffersons. In the mid-70s, it was estimated that some 120 million Americans, more than half the nation's population at the time, watched the various sitcoms produced by Lear and Bud Yorkin, his longtime partner in Tandem Productions. He's from New Haven, Connecticut. Did you know that?
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Born in, that's where he was born. And they bounced back and forth from Connecticut and Brooklyn.
Okay.
Grandson of a Russian Jewish immigrant.
Wow.
All right. So the one thing I wanted to talk about, because I also want to play a little game, which I thought would be fun, kind of tag teaming off the Big Show recently. He returned to television. He dipped his toes in movies and stuff like that. Then he returned to television in the 90s. But all three of his sitcoms, Sunday Dinner, The Powers That Be, and 704 Houser, which was
the address of Archie Bunker.
Yes. And it was about, did you know anything about the show?
I've never heard of it.
Did not know about it. It has John Amos. And it
Good Times.
He was the dad in Good Times.
Right.
Well, this is a black family living in the Bunker's old house.
That's irony in TV, right?
Yes. Now, I had to look it up. It was a spinoff to All in the Family, as there were several of those.
Yep.
It aired on CBS, listen to this, from April 11th to May 9th. Less than a month.
Yeah.
In 1994. Now, that makes sense to me why I didn't, because I was in college at the time, and I did not have TV. We did not have, like, you know, cable. We had to go to, like, the community room to watch something.
Right.
So that I just didn't do that stuff. The series is built around the concept of the Cumberbatch family moving into the former Queens home of Archie Bunker after Bunker had sold the house located at 704 Houser Street.
Hmm.
Now, the interesting thing is this was like a complete flip of All in the Family. And it says the show features a reversal of the original All in the Family formula. Ernie and Rosa Cumberbatch were working class Democrats, while their son Goody is a conservative activist and his girlfriend Cheryl Ann Markowitz is white and Jewish. Okay, which I thought was kind of a fun twist.
Yeah.
The show attracted middling ratings and was canceled after 5 episodes, with 1 episode remaining unaired.
Ooh.
Wow.
So it was very short-lived, and some of the Littles had some interesting things to say about it, actually. Eric Londrigan, episode 4, had a nice little tweet about this. He said, "I'd make the argument that the peak of American situational comedies wasn't necessarily when these shows first aired, but when Gen X fell in love with them as reruns on over-the-air TV stations in the late 70s and early 80s.
Mm.
Now, I always relate to him because we are the same age.
Yeah, right.
So, and I have to agree with him 100%. Any quick thoughts, Ritz?
No, I totally hear that because back when they were originally airing, it was a once-a-week show, right? Saturday night, I think.
Yep.
And now you got kids coming home from school that can watch reruns on an everyday basis.
Right.
Well, Roxy, did you ever see All in the Family?
Oh, yeah. I saw reruns for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I loved Edith. I thought she was great. You know, her kind of sneaky ways of getting back at Archie were...
manipulating. Yeah, absolutely.
Really funny and a great show. And when, of course, when you had the Jeffersons appear on it as well, like just their relationship was fun to watch, but also like really commenting on life and the times. And I don't know, it was a good show.
Yeah. Now, before we leave the topic, though, I thought maybe we could have some fun. I have two sheets. Now, this one's kind of pointless because it's so many of his shows.
Yeah.
This reminded me of John Hughes. Mm-hmm. Okay. What John Hughes was to movies for in my generation.
Sure.
Okay. Everything I learned from his movies and stuff mm-hmm. like that and just the entertainment value, that's what he was like to TV. Mm-hmm. Okay. And would it be fun or is it too hard to do a Mount Rushmore?
Oh, wow. Of his shows?
Of his shows. I mean, I think...
You got to have All in the Family leading off. That's George Washington.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Okay, so maybe this isn't going to be as hard as I thought, but there are over like 30 in this list. But I mean...
I would go with Maude.
I'm conflicted. Now, see, I knew you were going to say that, and everyone says that. And I've been seeing tweets about that too, saying like, this show could not air today. Now, is that true? I never watched Maude.
No,
I saw like
either.
One or two, maybe three shows... But I definitely did not watch it, and I didn't see it in reruns.
I think, you know, my recollection is that Maude was the first show that really championed women's rights and faced a lot of issues. I remember the show touched on her dealing with breast cancer, if I recall correctly. So very specific women's issues.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is why this would be difficult, because I think it's going to depend on how old you are. I really do.
Are you calling me old?
No. I mean, what I'm going to say is, let me read some of the other ones. So The Jeffersons was a spinoff of All in the Family. Most of these were spinoffs of All in the Family.
Right.
Okay. Now, we have Good Times, Sanford and Son, Facts of Life. Right. See, that's, see, I'm with you on that because to me, I grew up on that show.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's where it gets a little tricky. Now, and Different Strokes was on there.
Wow, Different Strokes. Forgot about that.
Yeah. So, ironically, that's not on this list, but I know he did that because they did that remake of it. Remember those shows they did the live in front of a studio audience where they remade these shows? They did it a couple years ago. They did Archie Bunker. They did Good Times. They did Different Strokes. But, you know, and then there's, of course, spinoffs where it's just Sanford, Archie Bunker's Place, which was the spinoff of, you know, All in the Family, of course. The other ones are just, you know, I don't know them as well. You know what
Let
I mean?
Let me see the list.
Yeah, so that's where I'm thinking. I'll concede Maude, though, because I've heard from enough people that that deserves to be up there. So I'm thinking it would be hard for me, you know, especially if I had to then pick between Jefferson, Sanford and Son, Facts of Life, if Different Strokes is on there, that kind of thing.
Here's a show that I'm seeing, and I just totally brought back Hot L Baltimore. I remember that show. You know, I can't even remember why it was significant, but didn't even remember that it was a Norman Lear show.
Yeah.
I just want to go back because I just wanted to fact check myself on Maude.
Put the emails away. Put the emails down.
That it wasn't breast cancer, but the show actually dealt with an abortion. Mm-hmm. And that was at the time truly groundbreaking,
right.
but
sure.
also showing, you know, women's rights through a very unique perspective and lens.
Sure.
Well, I've got to go at least. It's got to be... I guess I would say Jefferson's over Good Times, as much as I hate saying that. Because
Dynamite!
I know, right? I loved Good Times. It was like one of my all-time favorite shows. But, you know, the Jeffersons were kind of on All in the Family and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, or maybe Good Times could be the fourth. I don't know. I feel like for a whole nother generation, Facts of Life, but it wasn't as successful. Sanford and Son's another good one.
Wow. That's
Littles,
right.
What say you?
Yeah.
Could there be a Mount Rushmore of his shows?
I think those are it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Looking at all these other shows, I'm like, I never heard of that.
Yeah, you don't ever heard of them. Yeah.
But those ones specifically, I know and I've seen. I never watched Maude. I never watched Sanford and Son.
We'll have to watch some of those.
Yeah, Good Times, Jeffersons, Facts of Life, All in the Family, absolutely.
Yeah.
So
I think broadly it changed television because I think then subsequent generations of producers mm-hmm. and writers realize that you can use television to push social change.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, RIP, as they say.
Yes.
Thanks for all the memories and the laughs and the good times mm-hmm. and no pun intended. Yeah. No, he's going to be missed.
Yeah.
I mean, 101. That's a good run.
And by the way, to the end of his life, he was out there championing social causes, getting people to vote during the last election.
Right.
I remember that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got a lot more to get into. We're going to come back with our Meet the Littles guests. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Meet
the
Littles.
Hi, this is Greg Sharmita from Ashburn, Virginia. And you're listening to the Loyal Littles Podcast on the WTFC Podcast Network.
First night we light the shamas just after the sun goes down. And we light one little candle, say a prayer and gather round. And the next night there are two, and then three, and then four. Hanukkah's half over, how I wish it lasted more.
Littles, we are being played in this episode by the one and only, episode 30, Dan Byrne. And this song is called Menorah. Now, we're going to have a double feature today. When we come back from the break, we're going to hear his song called Presents. Okay, so this is Menorah. Then we're going to come back from the break and hear Presents. And these are both songs off his album called Hanukkah Songs. Now, remember, you can find all his stuff over on his website, danbyrne.com. But don't forget to give him a follow over on Twitter, at DanByrneHQ. And you can find all his stuff on Bandcamp and all those places you stream your music. But remember, the most important thing is we will play both songs, Menorah and Presents, without interruption at the end of the podcast.
And then four, Hanukkah's half over, how I wish it lasted more. On night five, we light the shamas just after the sun goes down.
All right, all you loyal littles, it's now time to
meet the littles.
And Roxy.
Yeah, Chuck.
We've got an interesting one here. We've been chatting off air.
Yeah.
We've got some bones to pick, but we'll get there.
Apparently you do.
It's okay. I learned a new word.
Yes.
Okay, we'll get into that. We're going to tease all that. Please welcome to the podcast, Paul Frampton. Hey, Paul, how's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Great.
We're great. Now, I'm very interested. We're going to have you introduce yourself like we normally do, but I heard a word when we first started talking off air. Mm-hmm. So I have no idea where this person's from or all that stuff, but we're going to find out. So introduce yourself. Take a second. Tell us a little something about yourself.
My name's Paul Frampton. I'm in my 40s. I live in Lindsay, Ontario. I've
Knew
moved
it.
18 times in my life, so I've moved all over the place.
Excellent.
But with stops in the United States, in Ohio and Michigan, but now I'm settled in Lindsay.
Okay. He said a boot.
Yes.
When you first came on, and I loved it. I was
yes.
he's got to have some Canadian roots. I had no idea.
Yes.
Now, I'm wondering, is this call going to cost me a ton of money?
I hope not.
Anyway, let's move this right along, shall we? Okay, so where did you go to school and all that kind of stuff?
So I actually have, I went to two different colleges here in Canada, but we do things a little differently. There's no major and minor when you go to university or college here. You pick a program and you go do it, and that's what they write on your program. Oh. I have a degree in food and beverage management from George Brown College, which is downtown Toronto.
Oh.
And I have another degree in accounting from Durham College, but I am not using either one of those in my current job.
Of course, naturally.
That's as you do.
Yeah.
Do you want to share that with us or no?
Well, my current job is very, very boring, to be perfectly honest. My job title is furniture application technician. Which most people hear that and go, what on earth is that?
Wait, do you just sit around and put IKEA furniture together? Because that would rock Roxy's world right now.
I could probably do that.
That's what it sounds like. Wait, say the title again.
It's furniture application technician.
Right?
Okay.
The application part that is the key. Because basically when people in Canada, they go into a furniture store and buy furniture, they're offered an extended 5-year warranty. And if you get the warranty, once the furniture is delivered to your home, someone like me shows up at your home and we put some sort of protective treatment on the furniture.
Oh,
okay.
So, I mean, I was in 15 homes today doing that. So
I
do about 15 homes every day.
Now, is it partly to fireproof it or that doesn't matter?
No, it's to stainproof it.
Okay.
So a lot of people like to say, oh, it's Scotchgard, but that's the toxic stuff. We use the non-toxic stuff.
I see. No, I just remember because when I was in college and if you wanted to have like a bunk beds, a loft or whatever, and you had to have special stuff and you had to coat it with it because it was fireproof.
Gotcha.
That was the main thing. That's all they cared about. They didn't care what color, even if it was painted. It was kind of clear stuff, I think. I don't remember, to be honest.
It's a very boring job. It literally anyone could do it, but it's hard to... Well, it's sort of a dead-end job, but it's hard to argue with the schedule because they only make me work 4 days a week.
Oh, wow.
Sure.
While everyone else in the company works 5, I get away with 4 because of how far I have to drive every day to get to where I'm going.
Well, and you said you go into like 15 homes a day?
And I do 15 a day while everyone else does 12. But I still do the same amount as everyone else, 60 a week, 3,000 a year.
Wow. That's a lot.
It's a lot of driving, that is for sure.
Now, you say... dead end, boring, whatever. But you must meet some really interesting people.
I've had quite a few interesting interactions. I'm the only tech in the company's history to be bit by a dog. And I've had that happen 3 times now.
Oh, no.
I've been attacked by a bird.
Whoa.
I've met numerous professional athletes and celebrities.
Oh, there you go.
This. But, I mean, while there's one extreme, it goes to the other. You know, you might go into a mansion with 50 rooms, and then the next home you go into is a hoarder, and you can barely get to their sofa.
Right. Oh,
right.
So it really changes from one to the next.
That's so interesting. Sure.
See, that's where I was going. I was heading towards, I apologize, it sucks that you got bit by dogs and stuff and attacked by birds. But I was more into the, you know, what kind of homes and the people.
Yeah.
I've seen some pretty gigantic homes, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But I've also seen homes, like I remember going, being sent into a home that was owned by the, not the Hell's Angels, but someone similar.
Oh.
And they had a kitchen table nailed up against the front door so no one could come in through the front door.
Well, that was going to get my next question was, what's the weirdest piece of furniture you ever had to do this to?
But I mean, that's probably one of the weirder orders. Uh-huh. I mean, there's been a lot of them. There's been a lot of them over the years. They sort of blend in together after a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, people are always asking me, oh, do you remember being here 6 months ago? And I'm always like, no.
No,
I get that. Now, so we're sure you hate hockey, but let's get into that. What's your fandom? What's your favorite sport? What's your favorite team? Stuff like that.
Well, I'm telling you right now, you're talking to one of the few Canadians who does not like to watch hockey.
See, I have that.
Good for you, Chuck.
I can't stand the sport. My two big sports are the NFL and Major League Baseball.
Okay.
Excellent.
Roxy will love this. I'm a huge New England Patriots fan.
Yes, though we're terrible now.
Oh, God, they stink. Don't they? Every single part of that team stinks.
I don't even watch anymore.
There's nothing even of any positive on the team.
No.
But I'm a big enough fan that I have the logo tattooed to my shoulder.
Oh.
And it's the only tattoo I have.
It's a pretty cool logo.
Hold on. Easy killer. Which logo?
The current one.
Ah, see. Yeah. I like the old one.
With the person, the Patriot.
Yeah.
The old one would have taken twice as long.
Yes.
I'm petrified of needles, so that was one of the worst experiences of my life. but it was well worth it.
Good.
In the long run.
Good. All right, what about baseball? Toronto, I'm guessing?
So I actually don't support any of the Toronto teams.
Okay.
I'm a Washington Nationals fan.
Ah.
So I switched teams in the off season of 2018 and going to 2019.
Okay.
At that time, I was doing a lot of work with an animal rescue charity here. Mm. I was actually the president at one point. And we found out that one of the players on the Blue Jays had abused their dog. And the player refused to talk about it. The team refused to talk about it. They refused to talk to the player about it. Even Mark Burley reached out to that player to try to talk some sense into him. And that didn't do anything. So when I reached out to my contact at the Blue Jays office, because I was a season ticket holder.
Oh, wow.
And I wasn't happy that they weren't going to at least address it. I just wanted it addressed.
Right.
And they just outright refused. They swept it under the rug until my wife and I said, you know what? We need to find a new team.
Yeah.
So we decided we would both pick a team and come back in a week. And she chose Tampa. I chose Washington. And I reminded her that if we choose Tampa, we're going to have to watch this guy at least 19 times a year. But if we go to Washington, we don't have to ever think about this guy again.
Yeah.
And I also, of course, pointed out that Mr. Tony is a big fan of Washington. So we'll get some inside information from Mr. Tony.
Yeah.
And then we decided to give them a try on spring training. And we fell in love with FP Santangelo.
Mm-hmm.
And I miss him so much from the broadcast.
Yeah.
But Bob Carpenter as well. He's such a good caller of the game. And we got rewarded in that first year by them winning the World Series, which was obviously was unexpected. We weren't, especially when they were 19 and 31, but even when they have stunk the past 2 years, it's just fun to watch them still. Although I'll tell you, in the times we have gone to Washington to see them, every single time we have gone, it has rained out and the game's been in Canberra.
Really? Oh, that's too bad.
Well, one
of
these days.
We get to walk around the stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's a beautiful stadium.
Yeah. I've only been there once, but it was a good time. Now, speaking of Washington, why don't we get into that? How did you become a Little?
So I came across Tony, of course, with PTI back when that started, because we don't have access to his articles or his radio show.
Yeah.
And so I knew Tony through PTI. And then I would say late 2017, I was looking for new podcasts to add to my rotation. And I saw Tony's and said, oh, let's give it a try. And, you know, within 15 minutes, I was hooked.
Yeah.
I was a little weirded out by what on earth the jingles were at first. I was like, what on earth are these people doing? I didn't really get it.
Yeah.
But now that I've been around for 5-6 years, it's like, oh, I get it. And not only do I get it, I'm looking forward to them.
Yeah, right, yeah, right. Yeah. And then, of course, now they're not as much, you know,
right,
unfortunately. So,
right.
I mean, you get some Dan Byrne.
Not as often. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, we've got some more things to get into. I learned something today, or I'm going to learn something today.
Mm-hmm.
And then we still got this little bone to pick. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with
Meet the Littles.
This is the Loyal Littles Podcast with Chuck and Roxy.
First night I got a boat for playing in the bath. Second night a numbers game, now I can do math. Third night I got a train set. Fourth night a new stuffed bear. Fifth night I got a ticket to next summer's county fair. Sixth night a menorah, I can't wait to try it. Seventh night a kitten, so cuddly and quiet. Tonight we light the candles, the eighth and final light. Can't wait to see what I will get for Hanukkah tonight.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast. And Roxy, we're lucky enough to have Paul with us.
Yes.
Paul Frampton from Canada.
Yeah.
I love it. Love the accent.
Mm-hmm.
We have a couple friends that are Canadian, and it's just always fun to just listen to them talk. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
All right, let's get right into it. Okay, so he semi-filled out the form, Littles. And the first thing he had, it just said, my stream. Now, I was like, okay, I didn't understand. So I asked him off air. And you were like, oh, I should have been more specific. You said it's your Twitch stream. Now, I have no idea what that is.
What's a Twitch?
Well, Twitch isn't that like a game? No?
Oh, maybe.
So Twitch is a website and an app.
Okay, so we were dead wrong. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And it allows literally anybody to broadcast themselves to the world. There's people doing all sorts of things on there, from magicians to artists to arts and crafts to clowns. There's even women that just sit in hot tubs, believe it or not.
It's called OnlyFans, sir.
I believe that.
It's called OnlyFans.
But 90% of the people on there are broadcasting whatever video game they're playing at that time.
That's the majority of that's on there. See, I was
close. We were sort of.
What's this Wii crap? It was me. I'm the one that said it.
We're a package deal,
that's
Chuck.
That's true. Chuck and Roxy. Go ahead, Google it. No, really. Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, now I'm going to cut you off for a second because I was way ahead of my time. That's all I'm going to say.
Were you?
I was. I was decades ahead of my time because I know I've mentioned this on the podcast. You probably missed it, sir. But we talked about Chuck carrying a VCR on tour with him over the years and how if you knew what you were doing, you could connect into the pay-per-view movies, okay, for free. All you have to do is find the channel they're airing on, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, and people thought I was nuts, and I agree at the time. I was like, yeah, this is stupid, but there's just something mesmerizing about it. You could also tap in to when someone bought the video game pay-per-view time.
I would
sit there, and if they had like Super Mario and someone else was playing, I have no control, I would just sit there and watch them for like 10 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And people are like, why are you watching this? I'm like, I don't know. It just seems interesting. I don't know. I'm like seeing if they know where the secret spots are, because I knew where the secret spots were. You know, just things like that.
Littles, who did I marry?
Seriously, it was just semi-interesting, and I just thought it was nuts. Everyone else thought it was nuts. And 20 years later, people are paying money to do this.
Okay.
People are paying money, yep.
And I'm like, I was way ahead of my time on that. Now, I think it's still stupid, but I know people that do it. So that's where I came up with the video game thing.
Okay.
I thought, I didn't realize it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay. So go,
what do you use it for? Do you just sit in your hot tub?
I definitely don't have a hot tub. it's only women that usually get away with that. No one likes to watch a dude in a hot tub.
Well, and don't know. You knock until you try it. You know, give it a shot.
So most people that have a Twitch stream, most people are coming for the people. They're not really coming for the games. You know, there's like 8,000 people playing the same game. Mm. So you're going to find somebody that you like to listen to or to talk to.
Right.
So I primarily play the same game over and over and over again because that's what brings the people in. That's what they want to watch.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's primarily what I do on Twitch. It's the game is called Dead by Daylight. That's the game I play over and over and over again.
Dead by Daylight.
It is a horror-based video game.
Ooh, I don't think if I would like it.
If those listening, if they like horror movies or horror video games for that matter, this is probably the game to give a try.
Okay.
They've been around for about 8 years. It's a Canadian company that makes it, but they have acquired so many licenses over those 8 years. So you can play as Michael Myers from Halloween or Alien from the Alien movies or Demogorgon from Stranger Things. Literally yesterday, they just brought Chucky into the game.
Wow.
And he brought his girlfriend, Tiffany, with him. So they came in yesterday. Well, on the flip side, because the whole point of the game, it's a 5-player online game. One person is the killer. 4 people play survivor. Obviously, the killer has to kill the survivors.
Right.
And the survivors have to escape. That's the point of the game. It's extremely straightforward. But because there's 34 different killers and 34 different survivors and 20-some-odd different maps, you never really get the same game twice.
Right. Now, let me ask you a serious question. Why do people watch? Just for enjoyment? Or are they looking for, like, cheat codes? Or not cheat codes, but, you know,
like
I don't know how to get past this level and watch someone else do it.
So
and like,
there's some of that in there because, I mean, I play with the same group usually over and over again, and the people that watch streams, you can tell they know a little bit more about the game than other people.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're playing a game on your own, you know, you might be like, oh, this part is difficult. But then you go see someone else do it and you go, oh, that's how they're doing
it. Right, right. Okay, that's what I'm thinking.
And so suddenly it makes the game a lot easier. That's how people pick up how to improve themselves, I guess.
Okay.
It just blows my mind,
cool.
though, that people would just sit there. And, well, I used to do it. That's what I mean. It was, it was dumb.
Well, but I'll tell you, like, at any given time, Dead by Daylight has well over 30,000 people viewing all the time.
Wow.
And do you get money? Do you mind me asking, do you get paid for that? Anything like that?
So it depends on your status at Twitch as to whether or not you're going to get any money out of it.
Okay.
You're either a nothing that makes nothing, or you're an affiliate that makes some money, or you're a partner that is making very good money. I'm just at affiliate status.
Okay.
So I'm like Mr. Tony read an email. I'm making tens of dollars. That's all I'm making.
Yeah, right,
not
right.
a ton. But the people that, I mean, there are professionals out there that do this 5 days a week. The biggest name being XQC, who just recently signed a $50 million a year contract to
play video games
5 days a week.
Wow.
He doesn't just do video games. Sometimes he just sits there and talks to the people that come into his chat room.
Or he just sits in a hot tub.
Oh.
Gets paid 50. Like, wow.
Sign me up.
Seriously.
Yeah, he's the number one earner. I mean, so he's, you know, he's the oddball.
Yeah.
But there are lots out there making millions and millions. And the whole reason you know they're making millions is because they like to show it off.
Right, yeah.
You know, they take the screenshot of their payout and they show it to everybody and say, look what I made.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, we know.
Wow.
That's very interesting. All right. Well, I'm glad you put that on the form, even though I had no idea what you were talking about.
Yeah, now we do.
Now let's get to this other thing. Now, it's kind of beating a dead horse a little bit, Littles, but we haven't done it in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to defend Michael on something, you said?
The great grilled cheese debate of 2022 on Tony's show.
Yeah.
When Michael was talking about how, you know, mayo is better than butter. And like the very first time that the next episode after he said that, most of the mailbag were people saying, no, it's butter, it's margarine.
Yeah, right.
And I thought to myself, no, I've got to come to Michael's defense. He's in the right here.
Okay.
And so I sent him an email saying mayo's number one and explaining why. And Tony read it. And then after that was a slew of people saying, you know, mayo.
Okay, but let's go back because it's been a while because I don't remember because I've tried it once and I did not like it.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, it might have been the stove I was using. It could have been something like that. I also think I went out of my way.
Yeah.
Because we were down in Tennessee visiting my father at the time. I actually bought a jar of Duke's mayonnaise, which I never have used before in my life.
Mm-hmm. It's always Hellman's.
But it's always usually Hellman's. And I bought a jar. So maybe if I used Hellman's, I would like it. I don't know. I could try it again. But the other thing is, and we'll come back to this, I was 49 years old when I realized how to make the perfect grilled cheese. Okay, for myself. But I meant as far as using butter and how to do it right. And I'll explain that in a second.
Uh-huh.
Let's go back to your mayonnaise. Is there a specific type of mayonnaise you like? Have you tried different types? Why is it better?
Well, let's open the fridge and see what mayonnaise is here. it's Hellman's.
Okay. See, maybe that's where I'm going.
So, I mean, it's just I find with butter it can get greasy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
My body can't handle grease, okay. So I have to have something that is not greasy. And I find that the mayo also makes it a lot crispier as well. So I should give my wife credit because she's the one that came up with the idea well before Michael mentioned it. And it wasn't until I was sitting there telling my wife, oh, you know, Michael says mayo. And she looked at me and said, I've been telling you mayo for years. Like, like, why do you need to hear it on a podcast?
You dope. I've been telling you for years. Listen to me and your wife. Okay. And then real quick, I'm going to go back real quick because you're going to laugh. We've had this debate too about the butter inside the fridge, outside the fridge, you know, counter or in the fridge, you know, and then let's not even get into whether or not you're supposed to freeze it or not, even though it says it on the box.
Yeah.
A lot of people say you don't freeze it. And so our butter's always very difficult and hard to deal with. And, you know, when you spread it on, it's hard to spread on the bread and it rips the bread or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you either have to soften the butter a little bit and
or
stuff like that.
Bread.
Sometimes, yeah. And sometimes I've even like melted the butter and then brushed it on. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when I finally realized this is stupid, okay? So I finally figured out after all these years, I think I've shared this with you, Roxy, maybe not, because I felt like I would cut like cubes of butter and then, you know, you just put it in the pan, it would melt,
yeah.
You know, and it would work, but it's still just stupid. Mm. What I do now is I literally put a chunk of butter in the pan, let it melt, mm-hmm. okay? So it gives you a little coating of butter uh-huh. in the pan. I dip one piece of bread down in it,
yeah.
then take it off and put it aside.
Yeah.
Then I put the other piece of bread down, put the cheese on, and then eventually put the other piece on top. My point is, like, why haven't I not been doing that? Like, I felt like such a dope when I realized, like, how easy this was.
Because you were trying to spread it before.
Yeah, I was trying to spread it. Why? Mm-hmm. Why? What's the point? Mm-hmm. This is the perfect way to, and it's already there. You don't have to mess up a whole nother dish with the butter and then the brush
sure,
that you,
pr-
you
sure.
know, that kind of thing. It was easy. Mm-hmm. So that's on me. That was me being stupid. So I was really excited. So all right, maybe we'll try the Hellman's thing. I might give it one more shot. It was also at our dad's, and my dad's stove wasn't the best, so maybe mm-hmm. that had something to do with it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it's also what you were brought up doing.
Right,
you know?
Right.
You know? Oh, for sure, yeah.
So it's not just a Canadian thing, I guess. Okay, all right, just want to make sure. Well, listen, Paul, can't thank you enough for coming on the Meet the Littles. We have some fun, dumb questions. We hope that's okay.
Yeah, go right ahead.
All right.
Okay, what do you think is the greatest invention of all time?
Geez, probably, well, that's a tough question. I'd probably say the internet.
Okay, that's a great one. Yeah. I thought he was going to say mayonnaise, but, you know. All right, if you could be a cartoon character for a week, who would you want to be?
So we're going to go to Bob's Burgers, and I would be Teddy.
Oh, Teddy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. Teddy. Sit around and eat burgers all day. Do you think that was inspired by, was it Popeye was the one that had the guy that ate all the burgers? Wimpy?
Popeye was spinach.
No, well, that's Popeye, but who was the other guy? The other guy that kind of looks like him. From Bob's Burgers. What was his? Was
yeah,
it
I definitely don't.
Wimpy? No, it wasn't Wimpy. What was his name? Oh, it's going to drive. I thought he was on Popeye. He was one of the characters on Popeye, I thought.
I don't know, Chuck.
All right, we'll look into it. We'll look into it. What's next, Roxy?
Who would play you in a movie of your life?
Well, I mean, I want to say Brad Pitt, but okay. That's probably a bad answer.
Huh.
I would say the celebrity I say I got most mistaken for in my lifetime would be Daniel Radcliffe.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
But that was when, you know, Harry Potter was at its height.
Right.
You know,
people would be like, hey, you look like Harry Potter. And I'm like, God damn.
Yeah. He's on Broadway right now.
Yeah.
Merrily We Roll Along.
Oh, is he? I did not know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a great actor.
He's done a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. How to Succeed. Yep. He did another one. He did a straight play. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah. Now he's doing Merrily We Roll Along.
He definitely hasn't been typecast as Harry Potter. Though,
yeah,
which is,
well,
which is a bit of a surprise because a lot of people get typecast.
Well, yeah. I haven't seen the show, so I don't know if it's even appropriate, but there's Harry Potter on Broadway right now.
Yeah.
I'm like, why isn't he in that? Even in just like a cameo, but they can't afford. Well, it's them later in life.
Right.
But
right.
still, yeah.
I mean, he's later in life now.
Yeah, right. So, all right, what's one movie you love so much that you know you will be best friends with another person just by them loving it as well?
I'm probably going to go with the original Jurassic Park.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
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 Yeah, that's still to this day. They did such a good job of that.
Yeah.
All the other movies that came after, nowhere close to it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
They're remaking that movie, though, the original one.
Oh, wow. I didn't know
They're remaking it with Lego.
Oh.
It's going to be Lego Jurassic Park. It's going to be the exact same thing except Lego.
Wow.
I don't know how I feel about that. But okay. All right.
Yeah, I saw a clip of it today. That's the only reason I know.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right. Let's go rapid fire, Roxy.
Okay. Coke or Pepsi?
Pepsi 100,000,000%.
Yes. We could be friends, sir. All right. Crunchy or smooth peanut butter?
Crunchy peanut butter.
Two for two.
It's got to be crunchy because you need that. I want as much peanut as I can get.
Thank you. Yes.
I want as much butter as I can get.
Now he's just kissing ass, I think. Okay.
All right. If you could squirt one condiment out of your finger, what would it be?
I've heard you ask that question many times, and I thought about that today a lot. Definitely not the hot sauce, but that's a great idea, Roxy.
Thank you.
I'd probably have to go with plain old ketchup because I put that on a lot of stuff.
Is he three for three right now?
I think so, Chuck.
Three for three, sir.
You could be besties.
All right, 'tis the season. Eggnog, yay or nay?
Nay.
Four for four.
All right.
Wow, I want to keep going just to see how far we can get. One more, Roxy.
Cake or pie?
Oh, it's always pie.
Ooh, all right.
What kind?
I can't. Geez, I'll eat any pie that you put in front of me, but okay. My favorite is probably lemon meringue.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Cool. All right. And Uranus jokes, not funny or never not funny?
Never not funny.
Excellent.
Love it.
All right, Paul. Well, we can't thank you enough for coming on the Meet the Littles. Now, is there anything we can plug for you, and how can people get in touch with you if you want to be gotten in touch with?
You can find me on Twitch or on TikTok. That's Fran Brady is my name. Or if you add the number 33, you'll find me on Twitter.
Okay, so Fran Brady, and you said 33 is...
Add 33, and you'll find me on Twitter.
All right, well, thanks again. We'll make sure we put all that in the show notes, and as an homage to the big show, we'll get you out of here on this.
Over or under?
Always over.
Excellent.
Hey.
All right. Well, Paul, thanks again for taking the time all the way from Canada.
Yeah.
To come on and meet the Littles. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, all you loyal listeners.
We'll be right back.
This is Joe Magnu from Pittsburgh, and you're listening to the Loyal Littles podcast on the WTFC Podcast Network.
They do a great job in the city. Workermen doing all the jobs he won't. Trapping flying squirrels and picking up his trash. Raking all his leaves. He should give them some cash. For Christmas and for Kwanzaa. Or a Hanukkah bonanza. He's rolling. He's rolling. Tony's rolling up his quarters.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast, and thank you, Paul Frampton, for coming on to Meet the Littles.
Any relation to Peter Frampton?
I don't think so.
Now, we love you, Paul.
Littles, we do a lot of talking off air, and you know, it's funny, when Ritz and I get together, we start geeking
going
out.
Off.
We start going off about the big show.
Yeah.
And he's telling me about this email he wrote in that hasn't been read yet about your, what'd you say, the worst song?
Worst song.
And I'm like, come on, man. Go ahead, tell him what it was.
I don't want to reveal it in case the letter is read.
Okay, all right.
I still hold out some hope.
Okay, but it's not a bad song.
Oh, come on. It's a bad song.
I started...
Littles, guess which one it is.
I started singing...
New contest.
I started singing it. If anyone can nail it, yeah, I'll give you a
prize. That would be something. I would pitch in for that prize.
I'll give you a better than mediocre prize for that. But it's... I liked it. And but the thing that made me angry, like you started saying, someone the other day wrote Love Shack, and then... But mine was Leader of the Pack.
Yeah, come on, people.
And then Run, Joey, Run. Do you even know those songs, Roxy?
I know Leader of the Pack.
Yeah.
I'm sure I know Run, Joey, Run.
My Boyfriend's Back. Didn't someone write that?
I don't know about that one. But Tony's been defending some of them, to his credit.
Some of them. But come on, man. These are good songs. What are you talking about? Excellent songs. All right, Roxy, we have an email here from Mo Werner, which we're going to get to, complimenting us on bringing the news segment back.
Oh, okay.
So we're excited about that. So let's hope the Littles like this as much. Now, I had printed out something today, and it was in this packet. It wasn't supposed to be, but I handed it to you. You thought it was funny.
Yeah.
So you're like, we should do that today.
Yeah.
So this is a need-to-know fact.
Yes.
Cue the news music.
No, we don't do the news music for that. We should have some need-to-know fact music. We don't have music for that.
We need our piano. Sid to be here to play the piano.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, headline. Chimichanga translates to thingamajig.
Now, Littles, did you know that?
I did not know that.
We're excited that next time we're going to go to a restaurant, we're going to go, can I just get a thingamajig with chicken?
Well, right. So
let's see if they know what the hell we're talking
about.
So
listen to this. The chimichanga is a deep-fried burrito that is common in both Tex-Mex and other southwestern U.S. cuisine. Chimichanga is Spanish for thingamajig, which is described in the dictionary as refers to a person or thing whose name has been forgotten, is not known, or does not wish to mention. Common toppings for the chimichanga are salsa, sour cream, guacamole, and carne asada. The most common ingredients that make up a chimichanga are rice, cheese, black beans, and meats such as chicken, pork, or beef. Chimichanga is a thingamajig.
Now, do we really believe this, though? Remember, I think I discussed this the last time we did these, where I'm not sure how
this could be one of those internet wives' tales.
I think we need to ask our good friend Cesar Amador.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Do you remember his good episode call. Number? I don't remember his episode number. Cesar, we haven't heard from him in a long time. Is that true, Cesar? Let's find out. Ritz, I have a message from you. You wrote in.
I did.
he says, I think the term you were looking for on the last pod is necrophilia.
Yes. And I feel sort of guilty having to confess that I know that.
Well, no, I knew what it was, too. I just didn't know how far I could tell I was making Tiny Chuck uncomfortable. And Roxy here was definitely uncomfortable.
Caesar's episode number is 187.
187. Episode 187.
Yes.
Really? He was after Brandon Borzelli?
Yes.
Wow.
Still need snacks for
Ciento
everyone.
Ochento y siete.
Si.
Si. Muchas gracias. That's all I got.
Thingamajig.
Thingamajig. Yeah, so thanks, Ritz, for clarifying what I was trying to say, that these people were doing with all the dead bodies in their house.
Yowie.
Yeah, that was bad. Kim Wilson, episode 36. Kim Wilson.
Two L's.
I think what we learned from Dina's voicemail was that she was physically on the road to start shaking down people without a Chuck and Roxy number.
She will go far, people.
She will. She'll go as far as she needs to, I think.
Certainly,
to whatever exit that was going to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, she also thought, she goes, those bloopers should only be allowed for people that are Patreon page members.
Right.
We don't have a Patreon page.
We should
get a Patreon page.
Should we? Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel awkward.
Paid content.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. I mean, we still have the full Dan Byrne interview in the can.
Yeah.
That one I saved.
That was amazing.
That one I saved.
That was really good.
By the way, that was a fantastic song he wrote about the Chicago Bears. That was awesome.
All right. And then before we get out of here, let's just do one more. I teased it. Mo Werner's episode 86, top 50, baby, he says. So, Rich, you have this one. Right?
Yes. Chuck, it was great to hear the news segment return after some time. The story about the plane missing windows intrigued me, so I went to the Google machine to learn more. I think I found the article you read from because it matched what you said word for word.
He calls me out on this big time, but there's a reason that he gets to at the end of the email.
Okay.
Go.
However, you stopped reading and asked how could this happen just before that very article answered the question for you after a picture showing the plane.
It was a long article.
After a picture showing the plane during the movie shoot was the following text. The lights, which were intended to give the illusion of a sunrise, were placed about 20 to 30 feet from the aircraft, shining on first the right, then the left side of the craft for over 9 hours in total. A foam liner had melted away from at least one of the windows, and several window panes appear to have been warped by the thermal heat.
Wow.
So thus, it would appear that no one realized that baking a plane for hours under lights meant to imitate the sun might have a deleterious effect on the integrity of the plane's windows. By the way, Mo, good vocabulary there. Your English teacher would be very happy. In fairness to passengers, it appears that the outer panes were what was missing. Commercial airplane windows typically have 3 panes, and so from the inside of the plane, the windows may have appeared normal until they were flying. For reference, a cabin window consists of 3 panes. 1, an outer pane flush with the outside fuselage. 2, an inner pane, which has a little hole in it that you may have spotted. And 3, a thinner, non-structural plastic pane called a scratch pane. Passengers can't touch the inner pane, the one with the hole in it, or the outer pane for safety reasons. Instead, passengers can rest their weary heads against the scratch pane, press their iPhones against it, or simply muck it up with their greasy fingers. The scratch pane isn't actually part of the window assembly itself, but installed separately. Keep up the great work. Happy belated 3rd podcast anniversary, and happy holidays. Thank you, Mo.
Yeah.
Okay, I did not know that there was a hole.
Yeah, in the middle one.
In the middle one. Yeah. Where? In the center?
It's like a little tiny hole at the bottom.
Oh, at the bottom?
I think it's for allowing for air pressure to dissipate.
I'm sure I have pictures of me on a plane.
Yeah, but you probably missed it. But I know some people.
Now you'll notice it every time you're on a plane.
I cannot wait to fly again.
Some
so
people
I
have freaked out about it. They're like, wait, there's a hole in the window. We can't take off. And they're like,
take this woman away.
Yeah, right. No. Are you looking it up right now, Roxy?
I'm definitely going to sit on my phone for the rest of the night until I find a picture that I took from a plane looking out the window. And perfect. Then I'm gonna,
yeah, but well, we'll see.
I'm going to zoom.
You might find it.
Roxy's on a mission.
All right, real quick before we get out of here, though, let's get to our bowling segment, shall we? We have some gears to grind, okay? Because we're finishing up the bowling league here. And the last week, we go into it's like the last playoff. Now, bowling is a little different. They do playoffs throughout the season. I know that probably doesn't make sense to most people. It doesn't,
doesn't really make sense to us either.
It doesn't make sense to us either, but that's how they do it. And so, like, they do standings 1 through 25, whatever how many teams there are, and then a quarter of the way, halfway through, and then three quarters, one will bowl two, three bowls four, and so on, okay?
Position week.
Position week, they call it, okay? They think it kind of evens things out, whatever. The point of it is we came up to our last position week, and because it's the last week of the season, they like to get all fan, or I don't know if they're trying to get cute, what they want to call it, and they hide the numbers from us. They try to like not let you know who's in first, second, third. It'll be a surprise next week when they announce the winners.
It's showbiz.
it drives me crazy because I'm like, we can't check their work because, and you think you got ditched
a couple
points.
Yeah, I totally agree because we wish we knew how many points we need to make up, how many points we got last week, but we don't know. So we're going into our final week in third place now, people.
And we don't even know what place we're in
Right. Because
we can't figure it out because we're so far down. I mean, I don't think we're that far down. But it'd be nice to know if we were like fifth,
mm-hmm.
You know, fifth, things can happen in fifth, you know, if you have a good night. And what? Oh, Roxy's got a look on her face.
I found the hole.
That's what she said.
What? That's like, what?
Wow, Roxy.
Yeah, I found it. Oh, my gosh. I took a picture when I was flying down to New Orleans early in the year.
I can't finish the podcast anymore.
So I have no idea what y'all were talking about.
We have broken new ground here.
I found the hole. I found it. It's right there. It's been there this whole time.
I'm going to want to see
now
it.
Now you'll never unsee it.
I'm going to want to see it, but let's wait till after the podcast is over. I can't even look at you right now. All right. We might have to add this to the end or to our Patreon page or something. I don't know. But anyway, bowling segment's over. We hope you did well. We're going to see how this all, we'll let you know
the
results.
Fill you in
next
on the standings
time.
Next because next week.
We know you're on the edge of your seats. We know.
And by the way, when bowling season ends, that means I get to bring in a hockey segment, right?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah, we could do a hockey segment.
How come there's no Broadway show hockey league? Because not everyone knows how to skate. I don't know how to skate.
That's probably true.
By the way, people,
you know, we have to, you know, rebuild the enthusiasm about a skating night when everybody comes in.
Oh, yeah.
I was talking about that. I want to go.
Yeah, let's do it, people. Okay. I'm ready to teach people to skate.
Well, they have those little penguin things, right, that you can, like, hold on to?
I will for sure hold on to that.
Yeah.
Roxy will be pushing away all the kids. Give me that penguin.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Or whatever it is. They have little different animals, I guess.
Yeah.
That you can just hold on to.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know if they have them here. I assume they would.
Probably.
Yeah, I think they do.
Yeah. All right, so skating night. We have to do that.
Yep.
All right, but other than that, it's time to get out.
My mind is blown right now.
Your mind is blown? Okay. All right, y'all, let's get out of here. Thanks again, Paul Frampton, once again, for coming on to Meet the Littles. We really appreciate it. We really appreciate all the jingle writers,
Yes. Things
like that. We'll put all that in the show notes. We really appreciate you. Thank you for our Hanukkah episode. This has been great. It's been great to have Ritz here.
Chag Sameach, everybody.
All right. I don't know what you said.
DG knows what I said.
DG knows what he said. All right. And Roxy, tell everyone how they can get in touch with us.
You can email us at WTFCpodnet@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter X @LoyalLittlesPod. We're also on Instagram @TheLoyalLittlesPodcast. And don't forget about our Facebook page, The Loyal Littles Podcast. And also don't forget about our website, LoyalLittlesPod.com.
All right. She's good.
Now, the funny part is someone asked us if we had, it was either a web, not the website, it was something in between there. And she, oh, are you on Instagram? And so she literally had to go through the whole thing in her head to remember what our Instagram handle was. She literally did the whole thing. So I'm like, you're doing that on the next episode.
Yes.
That's great.
Yes.
And don't forget, everyone, if you do listen to us on Apple and iTunes, please, please, please give us a nice rate and review over there. So important. So, so important. And as Adam Ferrara says, you know, tell 1,000 of your friends.
A thousand
of your closest friends.
Yeah, and then they'll hopefully tell 1,000 of their closest friends.
Close friends.
I know. I don't have,
that's,
I don't have
wow.
10 close friends.
I know. Less,
but sure you do.
Anyway, thanks for listening to the Loyal Littles Podcast. Happy Hanukkah, everyone. Not sure. My sister's in town, so I'm not sure if we'll get an episode out Tuesday. If not, we'll see you next weekend or later in the week at some point,
Yep. Depending
on what Tony does. And as always, remember, if you are out shopping online for Hanukkah or Christmas or whatever, don't forget to
use the code.
Bye.
So yeah. That was one of the worst experiences of my life. but it was well worth it.
Good, yeah. Good.
First night we light the shamas just after the sun goes down. And we light one little candle, say a prayer and gather round. And the next night there are two, and then three, and then four. Hanukkah's half over, how I wish it lasted more. On night five we light the shamas just after the sun goes down. Candles, say a prayer and gather round. And the next night there are six, and then seven, and then eight. Soon Hanukkah is over, put some latkes on my plate. First night we light the shamas just after the sun goes down. And we light one little candle, say a prayer and gather round. And the next night there are two, and then three, and then four. Hanukkah's half over, how I wish it lasted more. On night five we light the shamas just after the sun goes down. And we light five little candles, say a prayer and gather round. And the next night there are six, and then seven, and then eight. Soon Hanukkah is over, put some latkes on my plate. First night I got a boat for playing in the bath. Second night a numbers game, now I can do math. Third night I got a train set. Fourth night a new stuffed bear. Fifth night I got a ticket to next summer's county fair. Sixth night a menorah, I can't wait to try it. Seventh night a kitten, so cuddly and quiet. Tonight we light the candles, the eighth and final light. Can't wait to see what I will get for Hanukkah tonight. Something's on the stove. Sidewalk froze. I need to blow my nose. Tonight we light the candles, the eighth and final light. Can't wait to see what I will get for Hanukkah tonight. Tonight we light the candles, the eighth and final light. Can't wait to see what I will get for Hanukkah tonight.
The Loyal Littles Podcast is produced by the WTFC Podcast Network and edited by Louis B. Crocco. And the Loyal Littles Podcast logo is designed and drawn by Eric Lonergan.
I miss him so much.
Oh, yeah.